We are now in week, what is this, 9? Yeah, the week 9 of this. And without going through the entire review of everything that we did in the past, we are now talking about forgiving kavod tzibur and whether you are able to forgive kavod tzibur. We went through the various shitas, the various views of Rishonim. The last bit that we were doing on this before we turned to the issue of women's aliyos and kavod tzibur there is the question of whether all kavod tzibur cases are equal. So we already saw the idea that the Taz says, based on the Bach, that maybe some cases that we call kavod tzibur are actually a function of kavod shamayim. They're really a function of God's kavod, in which case you can't be mochel. If it's your own kavod, you could be mochel, you could forgive that, but you can't forgive Hashem's kavod, and that's one possibility. The second possibility, which we're going to start on now, is suggested by the Minchas Asher, that really kavod tzibur is a catch-all phrase that's meant sometimes to refer to the kavod of the tzibur, and sometimes to refer to the tircha of the tzibur. But within that, it's important to understand what he's suggesting. He's suggesting that the tzibur has a certain dignity to it that isn't really the property of the individual member of the tzibur. There is a concept that Jewish tzibur has to be respected, and therefore they cannot forgive that. Separate from that, there is not straining the tzibur, and that they are able to be mochel, they are able to forgive. So that's what the Minchas Asher, Rav Asher Weiss, suggests. If you take a look at Source Aleph, he says, "V'hine nira pashut," it appears obvious. "Da'av shakasav ha-magin avram, did tzibur yachol limchol al kavodo?" Granted, the Magen Avram said the community may be mochel. Remember, the Magen Avram's context was talking about rolling a Sefer Torah. Right? When he asked the question of why they didn't roll the Sefer Torah at the Beis HaMikdash, but we do roll it in Shul. So his answer was, the Beis HaMikdash may be unique and different, that's all of Klal Yisrael, but in the Shul, he said, you are able to roll the Torah while everybody waits. So he says, but that's because Ein Ze Ela Be'inyan HaTircha, because there it's about the Tircha, the strain, and I bolded it for you in the source. But regarding other kavod tzibur issues, could go in shenashim lo ta'alena l'Torah, such as not giving a woman an aliyah, arum lo yispaleh l'kedomeh, the idea that you don't have someone daven if he's not properly clothed, vaday lo mahani mechila, there forgiving it doesn't work. Debahani yoda av hamagin avram, de lo meduber bekavod shel tzibur misuyam ze greida. He says the Magen Avram will agree because it's not talking about the honor of this particular tzibur. He says it's a broader concept of the honor of the Jewish people. It has to do with the stature of a Jewish tzibur. And that is something that you can't be mocha, you can't forgive. So according to his analysis, which is important, you know, just like the analysis of the Taz / Bach was important, because it's going to help us resolve the fact that we saw, like Beis Yosef, on some cases he says you can be mochel, on some cases he says you can't. So the Bach also, the Rambam also, we were unclear what their positions are. The reason why we're unclear is not that they are inconsistent. The reason we're unclear is because we were lumping together all the different cases, and in fact, we should be breaking down the cases between those that are kavod or those that are tircha, or those that are kavod shamayim versus those that are kavod for the tzibur, the people there. You follow? So that's why it's important to figure it out, and then once we know that, once we have this distinction, then we can say, well, women's aliyos fit into this category. Right? That's the idea. The third possible distinction between some cases and others is v'chashuk eichem or Zilberstein. And he distinguishes between Gnai and Kavod, both of them relating to this tzibur. Meaning, there's a difference between actively treating people with disrespect, that's what we call Gnai, and failing to show them proper honor, and that's what we call Kavod. So he says, Gnai, you can't forgive. Absence of Kavod, you can forgive. That's the distinction he wants to make. So if you take a look at source base, he says, there's a difference between kavod that's a matter of disgrace and kavod that's a matter of actual kavod. He goes back to the idea that the Bach expressed, although he's not agreeing with the Bach. The lifnei bnei adam shetau ilbo mechilas hatzibur. He says, kavod hatzibur is not, it does not mean their honor before other people, that such that they can then forgive it. Ela perusho she'ein ze kavod hatzibur sheyishlechu lefanav yis'ale mi she'ein lo hadras panim lahalitz al hatzibur. He says, it's not within their honor for them to send before God somebody who doesn't have hadras panim, he means the beard here, to speak on behalf of the community. He says, in front of a human king, you wouldn't send someone like that. Now, what's interesting is what he's doing is different from what the Bach does. The Bach's distinction was to say that sending a beardless chazan is a greater disgrace to Hashem. It looks like you're showing Hashem disrespect, right? That was the Bach and the Taz. The Chashukei Chemed is turning it to say it's about the community themselves. It's a disgrace for the community to send someone inappropriate before the king. That's the difference. He says, "V'nirashua din le'yintzibu she'elim sefer Torah l'chumashim shu g'nai lahem." He said the same thing would be true if you had a shul that didn't have a full sefer Torah. All they had were a cloth, chumashim. It would be a g'nai, a disgrace. She'elim sefer Torah, because they don't have a Torah. Or if they only have a woman to lane. That will be a ginai, a full-blown disgrace, he says. When sitting instead of standing. Yeah, it's respectful for him to stand. But that's all. Let's say their only possible Baal Kriya is a Talmud Chacham who is very old and he can't stand all through laning. So he says that's not going to detract from their kavod. They have a great Talmud Chacham who's laning for them. And by the way, he's the only Baal Kriya you have. So then we'll override kavod for Megillah. But for laning, he couldn't do it from a Sefer Torah. But tefillah lo yispal, he can't be a chazan. Because there the laws are different. There you have to lane standing, you have to daven Shemoneh Esrei standing. That's a separate point. I'm not really going to get into that. He's just making that distinction. I don't really want to go there with it right now. I'm actually going to take it out of the source, I think. But the point is that the Chashukei Chemed is making a distinction between Kavod and Ginai. So I see Josh already sitting there asking himself, is that an entirely arbitrary distinction?
I was actually thinking about standing up.
Oh, okay. I'm asking this question, and I assume you were asking this question because you were frowning. It sounds like it's very helpful to be able to make this distinction, but on what basis really are we making it? What's really the basis for this? But that's what he says, and he says, therefore, v'lachei nirah, dim kol hatzibur nechim. What if the entire community is disabled? What if it's a minion of people who are all unable to walk? So you could pick someone who can't stand up for laning Megillah. It's not a bizayon, they're all like him. In this case I mentioned to you way back when, if you have a chazin who doesn't have a beard, so if you had a yeshiva ketana, right, where your minion is made up of grade 7, grade 8 students, and none of them have beards, so what's the disgrace for them? That's not a ginai. So therefore, it will be subjective. Right? I brought this issue when we discussed whether kavod hatzibur could be subjective. So, but his point is, some things are ginai and some things are kavod, and he has not adequately, at least for me, explained how something ends up in one category, how something ends up in the other. The beardless chazan, he said, is a ginai to send before Hashem. But then on the other hand, it's subjective. Where they're too young, then it's not a ginai.
Right, it's too young, and then once you're too young, that's an exception, and most of their communities, where 95% of people are clean-shaven, certainly not a ginai to send somebody up to.
Yeah, so this is a very hard... really, he's making two different points in one source. One is the point of ginai versus kavod in and of itself, and then the second is the point that it's subjective. So even before I get to the subjectivity and what about in a clean-shaven community, even before I get to that question, I have to resolve the question of how did you decide, let's say, that the woman's aliyah is Gnai, as opposed to Kavod? Where did that come from? He didn't say. So this is a very difficult sort of distinction to work from. But it is a distinction that's out there, and Silberstein is simply is certainly not someone to sneeze at. So I don't know. But that's the position that he takes. So what we look at here are different ways to contend that some Kavod HaTzibur cases could have Mechila, and everyone wants to say that rolling a Sefer Torah B'Tzibur is subject to Mechila, because shuls do it. So it must be subject to Mechila. The only question is why? Is it because that's not towards God, that's towards the Tzibur? Is it because it's Tircha as opposed to Kavod? Is it because it's only a Kavod issue, not a Gnai issue? Everyone is going to have to come up with a way to do that. And then you then have to ask the question of, well, what about the woman's aliyah? Great. Is the woman's aliyah about God or about the community, to take Bach Taz? Is the woman's aliyah about Tircha or about Kavod, to take Minchas Asher? Right there, I think it's clear. It's not about Tircha, it's about Kavod. Is it considered a Gnai issue, this great disgrace, or is it about Kavod, to take Chashuk Echemet's distinction? He believes it's about Gnai. So in order to be able to apply these distinctions, we need to know what the issue is of Kavod HaTzibur when you're dealing with a woman's aliyah. What exactly makes this Kavod HaTzibur? So there are four different explanations I have seen for Kavod HaTzibur in the context of a woman's aliyah. Okay? In other words, why does the Braisa say that the Chachamim said women should not read B'Tzibur because of Kavod HaTzibur? What are you talking about? The first approach, the first school of this, is the sexual distraction school. You are at a place where we focus on Kedusha. This is a place where davening goes on. Mitzvos go on, focuses on Hashem, and it's not appropriate to have all the males watching this woman go up and get an aliyah. Laning or not laning, we're not dealing with Kolisha yet. Kolisha will have to come later, although we'll figure into the sources. But that's the first approach. Similarly, the Mishnah Berurah writes, it's Mishnah Berurah Ayin Hey Aleph. I didn't bother to bring it on the sheet because it's not directly relevant. But the Mishnah Berurah talks about a disqualification of davening opposite a woman whose hair is not covered. The idea that I can't say a bracha, opposite a woman whose hair is not covered. Technically speaking, why should that disqualify my bracha, my davening? And the answer is because it's a distraction of a sexual variety, and therefore it's inappropriate. Derech HaShulchan there makes his famous comment, in which he says that today we're used to women walking around like this. He says it's wrong. He's not allowing non-hair covering, but he says if that's all you have around you when you're davening, you're still allowed to daven. That's the classic Derech HaShulchan and Orech Chaim Ayin Hei. But there you see this concept of special sensitivity at a time of davening. Now, interestingly, Rabbi Yosef Mashash, in his Sefer Mayim Chaim Chelek Beis, or Chaim Kuf Mem, makes the argument that Kavod HaTzibur really means, okay, you have to follow this, he says Kavod HaTzibur really means that those who are not obligated should not mix with those who are obligated. In other words, the woman doesn't have this mitzvah, therefore don't have her do the laning, which is an idea we're going to come back to. But he says, that's not what the issue is in terms of women's aliyos. Rather, the real issue is sexual distraction. Okay? In other words, Kavod HaTzibur is a smokescreen. It's not what they really meant. Take a look at Source Gimel, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The remarkable statement he makes. I think he's 19th century. He says, Bechol dor vador. He says, in every generation, the Chachamim saw the corruptions that resulted because of people's deeds, and they would fix them. You can't get this on Hebrew books. Otzer Chachma has it. I had to retype it from there. It's not on Hebrew books. He says, in every generation, the Chachamim saw that because of the way people were, you needed certain takanos to fix things. And particularly in terms of mixing of men and women, the Gemara at the end of Sukkah that talks about how they created the two different areas for the men and the women for Simchas Beis HaShoeva and the Beis HaMikdash, he says that's a perfect example. Until that time, you didn't have two separate areas. Then they decided we need it. Why? Mary, you're changing the structure of the Beis HaMikdash complex. That's a big deal. Well, on what basis are you able to do that? The answer is because you have to make takanos based on the needs of the time. V'chein haya hadavar ba'aliyas hanashim l'sefer Torah. The same thing was true for women's aliyos. Hayu azaros miyuchados l'nashim b'chol batei kneisiyos ka'edna b'chol makom. He says, once you're already in the time of the Braisa, shuls have women's sections. And occasionally, he says, occasionally, you'd have a woman who was pious and who was learned who wanted to get an aliyah. He says they would come from the women's section. He assumes that the women's section is higher than the men's section. Some kind of balcony arrangement. They would descend into the men's section with, he says, their faces hidden, as they used to do. What he's describing here, the Rambam talks about it also, is the idea that women who lived in Jewish communities in Arab lands would often take on the practice that the Arab women had of actually covering their face. With one eye showing and the like, which the Rambam discusses. But he says, yeah, presumably that's the way it would happen, and Ba'olos, let's say for Torah, they would get the Aliyah. U'b'doros shachreim ro, she'esh b'zem achsheves arayos, sh'atzibor yusholim zelazem mizos olah. He pulls from Shir HaShirim. He says, in later generations, this would lead to thoughts of impropriety in the community. The men would say, oh, who's this getting the Aliyah? And start admiring the fact that she could lane or that she was learned enough to get the aliyah. Umagam asher tzibur anitzeres imo b'teva. Not to mention, you have the shliach tzibur, assuming there's a Baal Kriya, who's standing with her by the Sefer Torah. V'mhaya kolah arev mosif lahavir eish hayetzer. And if her voice was sweet, that would add to the yetzer hara. V'lachein amdu bitluas hadavar. So they said, forget it. This is a bad idea. No aliyahs. That's what the takana was about. However, the problem is that then you're broadcasting to everybody, we don't trust you. People don't like being told that they're not trusted. So therefore, they give a different reason. They use the words kavod atzibur, which don't mean sexual distraction, but actually mean shalote aisha patura min adavar misarevesim ha'anashim ha'mechuyavim bo. The woman who's exempt should not be mixing with the man who is obligated. Let the man who is obligated do with the obligation. So they gave a fake explanation with kavod atzibur. That's what he says. Now, I have to say that I hear everything he's saying in terms of the concern for distraction. When he says that, that makes a lot of sense, meaning that I had the misfortune in one of my communities of seeing a case in which there were two couples, and the marriages were not healthy marriages, and sure enough, the man from one got involved with the woman from another. It isn't because she was getting an aliyah. She wasn't getting aliyah, as an actual. But casual interaction, where there's already a problem, can lead to serious problems. And that's what he's saying this was about. The concern was, you don't want to create problems, and therefore they created this takana, and they called it kavod tzibur, even though that's not what kavod tzibur really means.
Because why? Is that to write this?
Yes, because people don't like it when you tell them that you don't trust them. What do you mean you don't trust me? We can handle this just fine. Right? Which are famous last words, right? When you say, we can handle this just fine, you know someone's about to go off a cliff. That's just the way it works. So others explicitly disagree and say that's not what this is about. So for example, if you take a look at the Mishpatei Uziel in Source Dalet, Mishpatei Uziel Choshem Mishpatzim in Vav Dalet, he says, this is Rabbi Tzion Uziel, writing in the middle of the 20th century, he's not discussing aliyos, he's talking about electing women to office. Yeah.
Why can't you just assume the words kavod tzibur mean the sexual propriety thing?
Because how would those words mean that? The words kavod tzibur, the honor of the community, don't reflect the problem of sexual impropriety.
So you're saying, what do they really mean? Are they mean about different levels of chiyuv?
Well, the words kavod tzibur really mean different levels of chiyuv, correct. Which we're going to see as a dominant explanation in a little bit. So he says, yeah, that's really what kavod tzibur means. But he's right that people don't like being told that they can't be trusted. Meaning, when I gave Daf Yomi in Allentown, there were women who came to Daf Yomi, but we had a separate table. And everyone said, well, why should there be a separate table? And my answer was, because sitting in the same shir with somebody day after day next to them, I think, indeed, leads to impropriety. No one liked that explanation. But I couldn't tell them about chiyuv and non-chiyuv. There's a chiyuv table, that's a non-chiyuv table. So I had to tell them straight. That was my belief. But in Source Dalet, the Mishpatei Uziel writes the following. He says, Ula Madayin Nishar Makom LePakpeg VeLomar. He says there is room to challenge regarding. He's talking about he had approved electing women to public office. So he says there's room to challenge and say, Sha'omna mitzad ha'alacha mo'eles ha'kabala. He said he's discussing the issue of Srara and the question of appointing a woman to be over the tzibur, and whether, just like you can't have a female king, so too you can't have a female in a position of authority that you elect. That's what he's addressing. And he says, no, you can accept them. If the community accepts somebody, which is what happens in democratic elections, then the Srara problem goes away. That's his general position. So he says, you could challenge and say that halacha works as far as Kabbalah. People accepted her. V'yecholim livchor b'midin kiblua aleihem. They could choose her, and that's simply the status of, okay, they accepted her. Abo mitzad ha-musar v'geder ha-tznius. But as far as ethics, as far as tznius is concerned, ula yeshizim b'davar, maybe it's inappropriate. She's going to be making public speeches. They're going to have to go to her with their communal issues. Maybe it creates improper mixing. V'yacha kasav harav agon ha-mechaber, he's talking about the person who wrote to him, ki ha-musar v'ha-torah heim davar echad. Lest somebody say, well, that's not really a halachic consideration. That's an extra consideration, and therefore it can be pushed off. He says, no, Musar and Torah are one thing. V'gam v'zeh yishlomar, sha'achar shalabadu shalo asra Torah ela v'derech minui. He says, now that we learned that, the Torah only prohibited when the person is appointed over the community. I added in brackets, la'fuke kabbalah, as opposed to where they accepted her. V'zeh yotzei she'ein les or mishu'im pritzus. He says, because the Torah says it's okay, that shows that we should not prohibit it under the rules of, under the concern for, impropriety. He says, I'm going to turn the argument around. You're telling me that Torah and Musar are one thing. I agree with you. And therefore, if there had been a concern for impropriety, then the Torah never would have allowed this in the first place. Not under Kabbalah, not under Minui. Whether she was popularly elected or not, the Torah would have said, don't do it. Nonetheless, he says, Kedelios misunim badin, in order to be patient in judging this, nisbonei al davar gam minikudas hashkafazu. We'll examine this from that standpoint, from the viewpoint that there's a problem with tznius. V'nira in the chagonza yesh chashash lepritzus. Let's see if there really is such a concern. Okay, you follow what he's done? He says, I don't believe this is a matter at all. I don't think this is an issue at all, because if this was an issue, the Torah would never have permitted accepting a woman to lead. But let's say we want to entertain this issue. He says in the second paragraph in Dalet, Hasvara no senes lamar dechol kinesia ritzinit v'sicha mo'ila ein ba mishum pritzus. He says logically, every serious gathering, every effective and beneficial conversation, meaning something productive, is really the best word, ein ba mishum pritzus, does not have an element of concern for sexual impropriety. He says that's not going to happen. He says, you have meetings of men and women for commercial purposes all the time. They have their conversation, they buy, they sell. And there is no breakdown in the in morality. And there's no outcry. No one is upset. Even those people who are parutz. He says, there's business, and there's everything else. And people take their business seriously, and therefore they aren't going to do something inappropriate. That's not where their mind is. Their mind is on business. Right? Part of me wants to know, you know, whether things changed in the 1950s or something. I suspect they did not. But that's what he says. When the Mishnah Bereyavo says you're not supposed to increase sicha, that's sicha betela, that's empty chatter without a purpose. That's what causes sin. Not debate and dialogue about important communal matters. There, it would never ever lead in that direction, he says. And he says, I'll prove it to you. And now he gets to the issue that relates to Kavod HaTzibur and women's aliyos. Raya Gedola Davar. I can prove it to you. Mimashakasu, Hakol Olin the Minyan Shiva Vafilu Katan Vafilu Isha. Right? The Brisa says they can get an aliyah. Aval Amu Chacham Lo Tikra Isha. But Tzibur Lacham said not to. Why? Mipnei Kavara Tzibur. As we've seen. Uperish Kavara Tzibur Hushalo Yomru She'ein Bein Ha'anashim Misheo Deo Likro Batara. He says, what does Kavara Tzibur mean? That people who see the woman get up to lane will think, oh, there are no men who know how to do it. That's the offense to their honor. Avalamu Mishum Prisus, but they didn't say that it's about Prisus. So he says, Kavara Tzibur doesn't mean this. And he says, I'll prove it to you, the last paragraph that I brought there. He says, he says, look at the law of Mizuman. The halacha is, you're not allowed to have a Mizuman made up of women, avadim, and minors. Why? Because of the avadim. Because avadim, we are concerned about the way they approach impropriety, sexual impropriety. But nashim mizanos la'atzman, women can make their own Mizuman. But the halacha brought in Shulchan Aruch is that if women are eating with men, they are obligated in mizuman, by which we mean a woman who's sitting at a table with men is not allowed to leave before the mizuman. She is obligated to participate. And they're yotze with our mizuman. So he says, they're yotze with our mizuman. So we're not concerned for priests. If we were, we would say, just like with the avadim, that you can't mix them together. He says they're sitting together at the same table. Don't tell the people with the who have separate seating at a wedding. He says they sat together with the males at the Seuda. Leave aside whether it's appropriate for a wedding or not. That's really its own discussion. But he says here they're sitting together at the Seuda, and we're not concerned because otherwise, how did you end up with a mezuman together? You follow?
It's not a good comparison.
Because
Nashim Avadim and Tanim, we're assuming they're all taking part of the Zimun. Now each one of them can count.
Yeah.
But the Nashim and the men, can the woman count?
So, no, but he's saying you're having them sit together. Why she's not, you're right. They're not letting her say Rabo Sainavar.
Right, the Nashim Avadim Tanim, they can all say Rabo.
But his point isn't that. His point is to say that when they tell you not to have Nashim Avadim Ketanim and Mizuman, we also say we don't want them sitting and eating together. And there is no such parallel.
When
he says we don't want them to have a chabura. That's his argument. That not to have a chabura means we don't want them to eat together with the Avadim.
The phrase is
Lotei
Chabura Mizamin. It's not Lotei Chabura.
I think, if I remember correctly, the point there, and I didn't look it up for this, I'll open the Bar Ilan now, but I think the point there is to discourage having them together. Yeah, I think that is the point over there in Or HaChaim. So he says, even a meal, we're not worried about this, then how much more so when you're in shul. So he says the issue is clearly Kavara Tzibur, he says, is not a function of Pritzus. That's his argument that he makes. I'm just looking it up now in Shulchan Aruch.
What is it?
Sorry?
If it's not that, when does he say what it is?
If it's not that, yeah, he did. He said in the previous line. He said it's that the women are not obligated. And you don't want them to say that there are no males who are obligated. I'm not seeing it now in the Shulchan Aruch. We have to look into it, Josh. The other source that really argues against this is the B'nai Banim, Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin. And actually, if you're on the email list, the Avoda email list, there's a back and forth now between Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin and the Frimer brothers on this point. The Frimer brothers who wrote the big tradition article. I don't usually read it. It usually goes to spam, but I happened to open it the other day, and there's a debate going on between them about this point. Take a look at source heading. Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin is the author of Shugos B'nei Banim. He is the grandson of the more famous Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. So he writes, Bifrat ein mamush b'tam shehinziu la'acharona He says there is no substance in the explanation that has been given in recent years that kavod hatzibur is lest men think about the woman who is reading from the Torah. The karasi bedapim sheshalach kavoda. He says the person who wrote to him, who is anonymous in the tshuva, we don't know who it is, but he says, I read the papers that you sent, which say shehagon Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik Chigzal limed kein latamidah, that the rav used to say that that's in fact the reason, that the reason is sexual distraction. Vitzta'arti al hay gavra rabba. He says I'm very upset for this great man, the rav, ki hu neged mashmos tshuvas maharam. He said, Maram Bar Baruch, that's Agos Mamanios. He says, that's against the implications of Agos Mamanios. The Od Rishonim, and other Rishonim, who talk about Ir Shakula Kohanim. They talk about the case in which there's a city that has all Kohanim, all the males are Kohanim. Shakoa Yikwa Rishon Vishaini Vashar Tikren Anashim. They pask in there that you call the Kohen for the first Aliyah. He then continues to the second Aliyah because there's no Levi. And then after that, you give women the rest of the Aliyos. Because if you call other Kohanim, it looks like the first Kohen had a bad yichus, that you're rejecting him, or it looks like these latter Kohanim who are getting later Aliyos aren't really Kohanim. So he says, V'imhaya v'davar michshol, but if this really was a stumbling block, if you were scared for impropriety, mutav shetis batala kriya lagamri, v'loyavo ha'gvarm lidei hirhor, then it would better not have kriya satara, rather than create this problem. You follow his point? He says, if the issue was really sexual impropriety, the way that the Rav alleges, then you would never have a heter for doing this. But there were Rishonim who discussed the possibility of having a woman get an aliyah if there are all Kohanim, if all the males are Kohanim. Right? So he says, if it was really a matter of sexual impropriety, that would not be sufficient justification for calling up a woman for an aliyah. So he says, the fact that you can consider calling women up for an aliyah in a particular circumstance teaches me that there's no... That there's no issue of sexual impropriety. So that's his point. So on the email list, apparently, the Firmer brothers noted a whole bunch of sources that do in fact support this. The idea that this is that sexual impropriety really is the issue, despite the objection of Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin, who was also on that list. They went back and forth. You can find it online. It's an open email list. But that's this approach, is that Kavod HaTzibur is about sexual impropriety. You follow? Okay. Incidentally, I emailed the Firmer brothers some of the questions we've had about their piece. I emailed them, it's already a couple of weeks ago, but they acknowledged the email. I'm still waiting for, you know, to see if they'll answer. If not, maybe I'll re-email them. That's all the first approach to Kavod HaTzibur, is that it's sexual impropriety. Second approach is that, and this goes to what the Beibonim had suggested, that it displays a lack of education or a lack of interest by those who are obligated in the mitzvah. Because the women who are exempt from this mitzvah are doing it, and the males who are obligated are not doing it. So Rav Avadya is quoted as saying this in a couple of different places. I brought you one from Shiurei Maran HaRav Avadya Yosef, which he didn't write, but he approved. V'atam hurak, it's source vav. V'atam hurak mishum she'ein ze kavod hatzibur. V'haynu, mepnei shehi petura mikriyas hatara, because she's exempt. V'chol haroa isha kora batara, anyone who sees a woman leaning, mevin shelo hayashav isha yikra, will understand that there was no male to read. U'meila zebi zayom hatzibur, and that's a disgrace to the community. Shelo matzu isha mechuyav she'yikra. They didn't find any males who are obligated to lean. And they ended up going for this woman who's not obligated. So that's the explanation offered by Rav Avadya. It was also the explanation approved by the Mishpatei Uziel in Source Dalet. And the Bnei Banim brings it also, although he's going to have a twist on it. The Bnei Banim brings it in the tshuva that I brought you in Source Hay, but we're going to see a twist on it in a minute. The Firmer brothers also note that this is found in Rashi in Sukkah. Rashi in Sukkah is commenting on the case of a man whose wife does kiddush for him. Right? Where the Gemara there says, Tavo Me'era, a curse should befall him for this. So Rashi there says, why Tavo Me'era? Why should he be cursed? Because clearly the reason why he needs someone to do this for him is because he is not learned enough. That's why he's having his wife do kiddush for him. The Ritva in Megillah, Megillah, Daled Amud Aleph, groups together Kavod Tzibur and Tavo Me'era. So the idea is then that we would port over this idea from Tavo Me'era of he's cursed because he hasn't learned, and apply that to the Kavod Tzibur discussion. Now, there are two different ways you could take this. When you say it demonstrates that the man is not learned, you could look at this as disrespectful to Hashem. In other words, it's disgraceful to the mitzvah. Right? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita, Perek Yudalet, Halacha Tezayin, is the end of Hilchos Shechita, regarding Kisoy Adam, regarding covering the blood. He says, if you cover the blood in a way that shows a lack of respect for the mitzvah, you kick the dirt over the blood, he says, that's Bizayon HaMitzvah. You're showing the mitzvah isn't important to you. So the Frimer brothers on page 100 of their article say that's what this is like. If you're not going to bother to learn, it's a disgrace to Hashem. If so, you can't be mohel. It's a disgrace to God. Right? It's a disgrace to God. It's not something you are able to be mohel. It's like standing up the beer of Lasnazin. But I do wonder if you couldn't take this to be not a disgrace to Hashem, but a disgrace to them. It doesn't make God look bad. It makes them look bad. Like, why didn't you learn? Why are you ignorant? And indeed, that's the way Rabbi Yehuda Herzl Henkin takes it. If you take a look at Source Ches, he says, "Vehine kavodo peresh shadas haritva hi shakavod zibor hu inyan me'era b'nei shemivazes hamitzvah kpirish Rashi mesechas sukkah." He writes to the person who wrote to him, "You say that kavod zibor is an issue of a curse because he degrades the mitzvah." And he says it's like Rashi in Sukkah, which we have already seen. There's a curse upon him because he didn't learn. And if he did learn, then it's a curse for degrading God, choosing emissaries who are exempt. That's what Rashi wrote. But he says, in my humble opinion, this is not correct. Why? He says, Rashi there is actually talking about the Mishnah regarding Hallel. If you have your Eved, your Isha, your Katan, read Hallel for you. Because they're not obligated in Hallel. V'lachein, avim lamad, so even if they learn, kemen sh'on achareim, tavo lo me'era, sh'os lo shluchim ke'ela, sh'ena mechuyavim kamosa. Even if he is learned, he shouldn't be appointing a shaliach who is not obligated. As opposed to the brisa about Birkas Hamazon, Shemai Birkas Hamazon, he says there, Pirish Harbazet should say not Benon, it should say Bazet. Bazet Pirish Haritva Mesechas Sukasham Mesechas Megillah Shah Ben Hu Gadol. It's talking about a minor who is a son who is not a minor, who is an adult. Veisha Chayev Birkas Hamazon Midi Araisa, and the woman being biblically obligated in benching, we're assuming. V'u'adin ha'eved, and therefore so would an eved be. U'dvar hu'atku mechadushi ha'rash v'v'chidas ha'ramban v'aran v'od rishon v'shapirshu shekotan eino chayev v'mitzvos afil midrabanan v'einu motzi acherim klal af sh'anu mitzuvim l'chancho v'nimtza sh'abraisa osekes v'misha chayev midoraisa kemoso u'bazei efshar lomar sh'mevaze es kono al yedei sh'ose shluchim ka'ele ki atu b'no ha'gadol sani lan yose mish'ar gadol she'enu b'me'era k'mo shikas v'arid for the Mishnah. He says, in a nutshell, because I'm racing a little bit as we're getting low on time, but what he's saying is this: there are two different types of cases. There's one case where a woman is exempt and you have her do the mitzvah for you, and then there's another case in which the woman is obligated and you have her do the mitzvah for you. And these are two different types of disgrace. Where the woman is exempt and you have her do this mitzvah for you, so it's a disgrace that you are choosing someone who's exempt, showing that the mitzvah isn't important enough to you, that you're going to fulfill your obligation. Separate from the case in which the woman is, or the shaliach is, obligated, where it's just a matter of general laziness. Why are you having someone else do this? Why don't you do the mitzvah yourself? You follow? Two different issues. So he says,
in the first one, you weren't, would you even be Yotze? Because she's Pazer?
Well, yes. No, they say she is. You are, yes, you are Yotze. They're Makri for you.
Why are they different then?
The difference is in that, in the first case, you are showing that it's so unimportant to you that you're going to call upon someone who isn't even obligated. That seems to be his distinction. So he says, "V'chein ishto kemet shemechuyevas u'kamoshe v'kadeshes b'shavas l'chadchila la'utzi bala." I'm sorry, that was from before, from the Ritva. "V'chein im lo lamad tava lo me'eram ibnei shelo lamad." Avalim lamad ein kan bizoy mitzvah. His point, really, and what I wanted to get to, because I realize that I'm racing to cover something that really requires more time, this distinction that he's making here. But the fundamental point is this. If a person doesn't learn, then he's cursed for not having learned. But if he did learn, and he's going to just assign the mitzvah anyway to someone who is mechuya, who is obligated, then it doesn't degrade the mitzvah. The degradation of the mitzvah would be if you didn't learn, or if, having learned, you turned to someone who wasn't obligated. But if you learned, and the person doing the mitzvah is obligated, then he says there's no bizayon. There's no shame or embarrassment in that. But the reason why I brought this had nothing to do with that distinction. That's why I'm sort of just skipping it in the interest of time. The main point is that the way that he frames it is, it's not about the degradation of the mitzvah, really. It's about the degradation to you. It's about you looking bad. It's not about God looking bad. That seems to be the way that he frames it. So if that's true, that it's really about the degradation of you, not the degradation of the mitzvah, then you could be mocha, maybe. Then there's a room. Then there's room for potential. Then there's room for potential mechila.
I thought he's mentioning both here, because he says in the situation where you're chayav and you're giving over, you know it, and you give it over to somebody else who's chayav. Says if it's a yeshra lo marshin nevazes kona, meaning in that case it's not nevazes kona, but doesn't that mean if that they're not the other person who you're assigning to is not mechuyav, that it would be nevazes kona?
So in the case in the case of the woman leaning, you would argue this is a bizayon of the. I have to go back and look at it more carefully.
I thought he was referring to both.
I didn't think so, but I'd have to go back and take a look at it.
Is this one of the people who the reason that some feminist couples, the wife makes a mozi? Is this the tshuva that they rely on?
They rely on other things also. Look at the Mishnah Berurah first. There's more than the Bnei Banim to rely on for that. I don't think they need to be feminist either, but that's another story. I want to look at this Bnei Banim again. Before I say it, I looked at this 2 weeks ago, and I'm not sure now. But the second approach, however you read this B'nai Banim, the second approach is to say it displays a lack of education or lack of interest from those who are obligated. And that's the Kavanat Zibur problem. The third approach, which we'll just do very quickly because it's a fast one, is also from Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin in a separate tshuva. He writes of a separate problem. I brought it for you in source tests. He says, he first discusses the Kavanat Zibur issue, but the part that's key is actually the latter part of source test, the last two lines. He says, V'lachein nira lefarish bofen acher k'tzas. He offers a different explanation for what the Kavanat Zibur is, after a discussion which is worth seeing in its own right. But he says, Shakavat Zibur le'yin kriyas nashim eno rak kidesha lo yera ki'ilu ein sham givarim ayod im likro. It's not just a matter of it'll look like there are no males who know how to lean. Ela kidesha givarim lo yismichu me rosh al kriyas hanashim v'is atzlu milil mod likro l'nagein b'ta'amim atzmam. The concern is that the men are going to get lazy. That's the concern. The men are going to get lazy. In other words, I know the women can lean. Therefore, I am not going to bother to learn it. That's the problem. Once you create a supply of women who are able to fill in and do the leaning, so the men don't bother doing it, but they have a mitzvah to do it. Yeah?
Is that any different than us? I mean, I haven't learned to lean because the next guy knows how to lean.
Yeah, but the difference is that now the person who's learning to lean is not even mechuyav. So those who are actually obligated, not just you personally, are not going to do it. The problem I have with his explanation is different. The problem I have with his explanation... By the way, first of all, you should know, what he is arguing about is true. In other words, there's a known issue in the Reform movement of men not showing up to shul, so much so that they started creating men Mijnana, male mijnanam, it's a male thing, in order to get them to actually participate. It's a known phenomenon. So what he's talking about is not imaginary. The reality is that, yes, women will be very frum, and they'll take over, and the men will say, okay, now I don't have to worry about leaning. But my problem is, it doesn't fit the wording of kavod sivur. Your concern is not kavod sivur, your concern is ignorance. That the men aren't going to lean. So I'm not clear on how this fits the words kavod sivur. Okay. So what I want to do next time, God willing, is go back to that B'nai Banim and see that again, if I can, to that one in Beis Yud Aleph, to look at that again. And then go through the fourth argument, which is the most volatile one. The argument that the reason is because women had low social standing. And therefore now, women don't have low social standing, and therefore they should be able to lean. So I want to talk about that fourth view. Then deal with the application to women and mechila, whether you could be mochel for kavod tzibur, and then if there's time, start on the kol isha discussion as well. Next week, I think, is the last of our Fridays, because the week after we end Rosh Chodesh Av. So I'll get in whatever I can get in, and maybe we'll do it. Sorry?
Two more Fridays.
What's today?
Right.
So you're right. We have two Fridays. Okay, so we're good. So yeah, then we'll get to kavod to kol isha. As well as maybe Haftorah is different, and Kavod Avriyos, maybe we'll get to that. There's a lot more that I want to deal with. So we'll just see how much time we have. But
you just fit into the wording of Kavod Tzibur, because it's not Kavod Tzibur, the same thing. It's not Kavod Tzibur for someone who's not Mechuyav Tzibur, instead of someone who is.
It's not Kavod Tzibur.
Say that? It's not Kavod Tzibur for someone who is.